From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of, you.
This is information the world needs to know.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank you.
Yeah. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
Spectrum 360. From the sun, white sand beaches, palm trees, surf, and pina coladas in the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida, on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico, this is the radio program Spectrum 364, Monday, the 2nd of March, 2020. Welcome, I'm your Spectrum 360 host, Mark Skogman.
And greetings to our listeners in Tampa Bay, Florida, and the United States. I'm co-executive producer and co-host TK Weeks.
And now the radio program Spectrum 360 listener greetings for this program. We believe these people are listening to this very program. Edward Marriott, Joanne McCarthy, Lee Allen, and Dan Perry. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. On Spectrum 360, this edition for Monday, the 2nd of March, 2020. The focus of this program is politics, a disease, and a demonstration, and water. I will explain. Segment one, live in studio and recorded, the news summary from the last week since the last Spectrum 360 radio program. And currently, the news summary is being done in three sections. Section one, this week in history. Section two, climate and environment news. And section three, general news. As our regular listeners know, then segment two, live in studio, the future events calendar hosted by program co-host TK Weeks. Again, she has interesting events for you to attend. TK does an excellent job with this segment, a Spectrum 360 exclusive. Oh yes, you know that it is. You listen to this program. And then segment three, recorded. The weekly Jim Hightower commentary on socialism of all things.
Socialism.
No.
Oh, no. Socialism.
Here's what that's going to sound like in this week's program.
Republicans are shrieking socialism at the Democrats' new populist policies, but do the shriekers even know what the word means? I'll tell you about it today on Hightower's Radio Lowdown.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do. But a lot of other people don't. So we'll see what we can do about that, right? And then segment four, live in studio, the Spectrum 360 report on the coronavirus epidemic. We'll give you a summary of information that we have learned and the sources of that information as well. Another Spectrum 360 exclusive. Then segment five, recorded, the Spectrum 360 interview with Marilee Malwitz Jipson, environmental activist and water protector and lead organizer of the Kayaktivism water protector demonstration at Ginny Springs, Florida this last weekend, demonstrating against the water permit for Nestle Corporation. Another Spectrum 360 exclusive. Boy, we've got the exclusives on this program. You've got to love this program. Then on next week's Spectrum 360, more coverage of the primary elections, more interviews, and more wry observations of news and politics.
Wry observation?
Yes. I put that in the script this week. I thought it was appropriate. Listen to the radio program Spectrum 360 on these six Tampa Bay radio stations. On WTAN, AM 1340 and FM 106.1. On WDCF, it's AM 1350 and FM 102.3. And on WZHR, it's AM 1400 and FM 104.3. Listen to the Spectrum 360 webcast MP3 file anytime. Go to www.spectrum360media.com. Simply scroll down to the program to your choice. Click on the control bar to play the program. Remember to like Spectrum 360 on Facebook at Spectrum 360 Radio Program, Spectrum 360 Media, and Spectrum 360 Video, or on Twitter by searching for at Spectrum_360. Also, I remind you that you can use the TuneIn app or application on your handheld computer, sometimes known as a smartphone. You use the TuneIn app to tune into this program as well when it is broadcast. We'll go to break one and return in about 2 minutes with segment one, the news summary. Thank you so much for listening. Stay with us.
And once in your life, you may get the chance to say words like deep within your heart that change the outcome of a day.
The Republican Party likes to cloak itself in the language of religion. Now, our party doesn't talk about that as much, largely for a very good reason, which was we are committed to the separation of church and state, and we stand for people of any religion and people of no religion, but we should call out hypocrisy when we see it. And for a party that associates itself with Christianity, to say that it is okay to suggest that God would smile on the division of families at the hands of federal agents, that God would condone putting children in cages, has lost all claim to ever use religious language again.
This is the year
2020.
And this is
the radio program
Spectrum 360.
Bernie is somebody who has the virtue of saying exactly what he believes. Great authenticity, great passion, and is fearless. Bernie served on the Veterans Committee and got bills done.
I think people are ready for a call to action. They want honest leadership who cares about them. They want somebody who's going to fight for them. And they will find it in Bernie. That's where I feel the burn.
I'm Bernie Sanders, and I approve this message.
That's where I feel the burn.
Feel the pain. Feel the pain. Feel the pain.
This is Roger Stone, an advisor to President Trump. He was convicted of 7 felonies, including intimidating a witness against him by threatening to kill his dog. Prosecutors asked for him to get at least 7 years, but President Trump complained, and immediately Attorney General Bill Barr, the nation's top law enforcement official, intervened to reduce his sentence. Every career prosecutor involved in the case resigned in protest. The criminal justice system shouldn't depend on being friends with the president. The law must apply the same to everyone.
We have to have a new president of the United States in this country. We have to have a new president of the United States in this country.
It is I, George W. Bush. Now, I don't know if you've read the news lately. I certainly have not. A lot of people are saying, man, I wish George W. Bush was still our president right about now. So I just wanted to address my fellow Americans tonight and remind you guys that I was really bad.
Oh, you don't have to remind me. I mean, really, you don't have to remind me.
But in comparison.
Yes. This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 2nd of March, 2020. This is segment one, the news summary. Yes, we made it to segment one. And this is section one, This Week in History.
Rock and roll, a cola wars, I can't take it anymore.
And today is Monday, the 2nd of March. And on Monday, the 2nd of March, or actually the 2nd of March in 1904, it was the birth of Dr. Seuss. American children's book writer, poet, and illustrator, died in 1991. The birth of Dr. Seuss.
I do not like Green Eggs and Ham.
I do not like him, Ted Cruz, I am.
Would you like them in a house? Would you like them with a mouse? I do not like them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like Green Eggs and Ham. I do not like them. Sam, I am.
So you're the one behind all this.
And on March 2, in 1937, the Steelworkers Organizing Committee signs a collective bargaining agreement with U.S. Steel, leading to unionization of the United States steel industry.
Woohoo!
And on March 2nd in 1949, Captain James Gallagher landed his B-50 Superfortress Lucky Lady 2 in Fort Worth, Texas, after completing the first nonstop around-the-world airplane flight in 94 hours and 1 minute. Now, the Boeing Superfortress was known as B-29 in World War II, so this is a special version of the Boeing Superfortress. It was a B-50, probably modified for long range. And on March 2nd in 1961, John F. Kennedy announces the creation of the Peace Corps in a nationally televised broadcast. Also on March 2nd in 1982, the death of Philip K. Dick, American philosopher and author, born in 1928. He was also the author of the book, Do Androids Dream
of Electric Sheep?
That was the book that was the basis for the film Blade Runner, one of my all-time favorite films. Blade Runner. And Rutger Hauer died recently, who was one of the main characters in that film. And on March 2nd in 1983, compact discs and players are released for the first time in the United States and other markets. They had previously been available only in Japan. Compact discs in 1983.
That was the exciting new technology in 1983.
It sure was. And that completes the news summary, This Week in History section.
Can't go north, can't go south. What you gonna do, what you gonna do? Can't go swimming to a big whale's mouth when the land goes under the water. The land is broke, skies are too. What you gonna do, what you gonna do? To live or running when it comes for you and the land goes under the water.
The 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill may have been 30% bigger than previously estimated. A new study published Wednesday in the peer-reviewed journal Science Advances used three-dimensional computer simulations to track the spilled oil, finding the contamination reached the Texas shore, the Florida Keys, the coast of Tampa, and parts of the east coast of Florida.
This is Section 2 of the news summary, Climate and Environment News. This is from Monday, the 24th of February. J.P. Morgan Chase announced Monday it will stop providing financial services to companies pursuing oil and gas exploration in the Arctic and phase out loans to the coal industry. J.P. Morgan will, however, still finance oil and gas projects outside of the Arctic region. The announcement comes just days after a leaked report by J.P. Morgan warned the planet is facing irreversible damage due to the worsening climate crisis. The bank is one of the biggest financial backers of the fossil fuel industry and other leading polluters.
And from Thursday, February 27th, Sonia Shaw is an investigative science journalist and author of Pandemic, Tracking Contagions from Cholera to Ebola and Beyond. Her new book is called The Next Great Migration, The Beauty and Terror of Life on the Move, and it's going to be published in June. She says the climate crisis is making outbreaks of infectious diseases more common, and with the destruction of natural animal habitats and the changes in migration bringing humans and animals into ever closer contact and making new pathogens more likely. Her latest article is published in The Nation magazine, and it's titled, Think Exotic Animals Are to Blame for the Coronavirus? Think again. And in a victory for climate activists, a Portland, Oregon jury refused to convict five Extinction Rebellion members for blocking railroad tracks used to transport oil by Zenith Energy Corporation and other companies. Isn't that, I think, where they planted a garden on the railroad tracks, I think.
Yes,
that
we
was
covered
awesome.
This. We covered this on the radio program Spectrum 360 months ago when it actually happened.
Yes, and the outcome came after the defendants presented a necessity defense. Valve turner Ken Ward, who is one of the Zenith Five, said of the landmark victory, "When citizens are told the truth about the climate crisis, which is the first of Extinction Rebellion's demands, they take appropriate and responsible action, as our jury did, and we thank them." In other environmental activism news, police arrested members of Extinction Rebellion in New York City as they blocked construction of a national grid fracked gas pipeline in Brooklyn.
And for Monday, the 2nd of March, chiefs from the Wet'suwet'en First Nation and Canadian ministers are resuming talks today after reaching a draft deal which reportedly affirms certain Indigenous land rights amid the ongoing battle against the Coastal GasLink pipeline. Indigenous land defenders say they will continue to fight until plans for the pipeline are canceled and the Canadian police retreat from protected lands. And that completes the climate environment news section of the news summary. Yes.
But if I can swim after 40 days and my mind is crushed by the crashing waves that feel so high that I cannot fall, let me out alone. Lift me up when I'm falling. Lift me up.
Climate change is changing our world in more ways than you may think. Because it's not just climate that's changing. People are changing the way they live their lives and the way they see the world. And these changes are the beginning of something huge. It's good. Because we need to act now before the next big storm hits to strengthen and restore the natural defense system that protects us all from high water and winds. The climate is changing, but so are we. Learn what you can do.
And now, Section 3 of the News Summary, General News. And from Tuesday, the 25th of February, in Charleston, South Carolina, seven candidates for the Democratic presidential nomination squared off for a raucous debate Tuesday night, yes, focusing a barrage of criticism on frontrunner Bernie Sanders as he seeks to consolidate his lead in Saturday's primary. Two of the candidates were billionaires Mike Bloomberg and Tom Steyer, who were at either end of the stage. They were joined by former Vice President Joe Biden, Senators Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar, and former South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Audience members at times booed Sanders and cheered Buttigieg and Bloomberg. South Carolina TV station WCSC reported the Charleston County Democratic Party offered tickets to people who sponsored the debate at a cost of $1,750 to $3,200 per sponsorship, calling it the only guaranteed way to get a ticket. Yeah, I bet.
And on Thursday, February 27th, California Governor Gavin Newsom said that 33 people in his state have tested positive for coronavirus and that officials are monitoring 8,400 other people for possible exposure. Newsom's warning came after health officials in Northern California identified the first U.S. case of coronavirus found in a person who had not had known contact with anyone else with the virus, raising fears that the pathogen is spreading among the general public for the first time in the United States.
Really?
Really.
We knew this was inevitable as it relates to the nature, the epidemiology, the nature of these viruses, that incident would occur.
And California's warning came as a whistleblower complained to the Department of Health and Human Services. They sent more than a dozen workers to receive the first Americans evacuated from Wuhan, China, without the proper training for infection control or appropriate protective gear. Mm. Those workers then were reportedly not tested for the virus.
Mm.
Not good. Across the United States, officials are reporting a severe shortage of test kits for the virus. New York officials say they're preparing their own kits after a kit distributed by the Centers for Disease Control failed validation tests. Meanwhile, new cases of coronavirus continue to spring up worldwide, with Nigeria reporting its first case and one of Iran's vice presidents testing positive. At the Vatican, Pope Francis canceled a planned mass after he became ill from an unknown ailment, raising jitters in Italy, where 17 people have died of coronavirus. Fears over the virus have hammered stock markets worldwide, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropping nearly 1,200 points on Thursday, the largest single drop in its history. Wash your hands, everybody.
And in California, hundreds of unionized graduate student workers at the University of California, Santa Barbara, walked out of classes and onto picket lines Thursday to demand a COLA, or cost of living adjustment. The graduate students who work as teachers' assistants say they were severely burdened by high rents and low wages. Meanwhile, grad student workers at University of California, Davis, say they'll refuse to submit grades unless administrators agree to a monthly housing stipend to help offset skyrocketing rents in Davis. And there was a development on this. Then on Monday, the 2nd of March, today, a new development in the story, 54 teaching assistants at the University of California, Santa Cruz were fired as they've been carrying out a weeks-long strike demanding a cost of living adjustment. The workers were fired after they refused to turn in final grades for the fall semester. Another 28 striking graduate workers were expecting to be assigned teaching positions, were told that they would not be hired. Santa Cruz is one of the least affordable cities in the entire country. The organizers of the Wildcat strike have called for the cancellation of classes today in support of the strike.
In Georgia, newly surfaced emails show that then-Secretary of State Brian Kemp mocked reports of voter suppression during the 2018 gubernatorial race. Kemp is a Republican who went on to narrowly win the election over Stacey Abrams, who was vying to become the first black woman governor in the United States. The race was marred by widespread allegations of voter suppression carried out by Kemp. In one email, Kemp used a laughing from crying emoji to reply to a press release by a lawmaker who warned that Georgia had canceled a half million voter registrations in a purge that systematically targeted Democrats. In another email, Kemp praised campaign officials for blunting an article on voter suppression in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, writing, "Good luck. This story is so complex, folks will not make it all the way through it."
And former Vice President Joe Biden won a decisive victory Saturday in the South Carolina Democratic primary, making his first ever win in a presidential primary or caucus. He took over 48% of the vote, more than double Senator Bernie Sanders, who received just under 20%, placing second. Billionaire Tom Steyer placed third with 11%. Former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg came in fourth with 8%, and Senator Elizabeth Warren fifth with 7%. As Saturday's results came in, Steyer announced he was dropping out of the race, with Buttigieg following suit Sunday evening after making history as the first openly gay major presidential candidate. While Biden received the majority of black votes in South Carolina, over 100 prominent black writers and academics endorsed Bernie Sanders, writing in an open letter, and I quote, "A Sanders presidency would go a long way towards creating a safer and more just world. The commitment to free college education, the elimination of student debt, and the enfranchisement of incarcerated citizens are only some of the reasons we have come to this conclusion." Meanwhile, a number of mostly black churchgoers in Selma, Alabama, protested billionaire Mike Bloomberg Sunday by standing up and turning their backs to him as he addressed the congregation. Bloomberg was commemorating the 55th anniversary of Bloody Sunday, when police attacked civil rights activists as they crossed the Edmund Pettus Bridge in a march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama. While Bloomberg was mayor of New York City, police officers engaged in 5 million stop and frisks, which terrorized and criminalized black and brown communities. The remaining presidential candidates, including Bloomberg, who will appear on the ballot for the first time since the primary started, will compete tomorrow on Super Tuesday, where 14 states will vote and over a third of all Democratic delegates are up for grabs. And from Sunday the 1st of March, just yesterday, legendary musician, actor, and activist Harry Belafonte turned 93 Sunday.
Also a Bernie Sanders supporter.
Yes. He celebrated with over 1,000 loved ones and fans at the historic Apollo Theater in Harlem Sunday night. And I met him briefly.
Really?
In 2014 at the Left Forum in New York City.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, very interesting. He was there.
Cool. And on Monday from today, the number of confirmed coronavirus infections continues to grow worldwide. Cases have now been confirmed in at least 65 countries, with the death toll surpassing 3,000. The first two fatalities on U.S. soil were reported over the weekend in Washington State. Both deaths were at the Evergreen Health Hospital in Kirkland, and both men were residents of the same nursing home. A genetic analysis shows that the virus was likely circulating undetected over the past 6 weeks in Washington State, potentially infecting hundreds of people. There are now at least 89 cases in the U.S., with New York, Oregon, Rhode Island, and Florida reporting new infections. President Trump, meanwhile, is claiming that criticism of his handling of the outbreak is part of a Democratic hoax.
Hoax.
Okay. South Korea said today that it confirmed 599 new cases, higher than the daily total reported in China. And Italy now has over 1,600 confirmed cases. Iran, over 1,500 with at least 66 deaths. In Paris, the Louvre Museum is closed for a second day as cases also mount against France. In Britain, a judge has suspended the extradition hearing for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange until mid-May. This comes after 4 days of intense deliberations between Assange's legal team and attorneys representing the United States government. If extradited to the United States, Assange faces up to 175 years in prison for charges related to the Espionage Act.
And that completes the general news section of the news summary for this week's Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 2nd of March, 2020.
My question is, why would it take this long for Republican senators and Republican congressmen and Republican governors and state reps and state senators, why would it take you this long to figure out that Donald Trump shouldn't be president?
This is
the radio program
Spectrum 360.
This is Mark Skogman
and TK Weeks,
hosts of Spectrum 360 on the six stations of the Tantalk Radio Network. Spectrum 360 is a talk radio program that features politics, the arts, and popular culture from a progressive point of view. Spectrum 360 broadcasts for 1 hour weekly on Monday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Time and anytime via webcast at spectrum360media.com. Remember, Spectrum 360, news, politics, and arts from a creative and progressive point of view. And now, segment two, live in studio, the future events calendar with co-host TK Weeks.
Ah, my little chihuahua, you are so lovely, so very lovely.
Take it away, TK.
Tomorrow, that's Tuesday, March 3rd at 7 p.m. at St. Pete Community Acupuncture, 1624 Central Avenue in St. Pete. There's going to be a free film hosted by Florida Indigenous Rights and Environmental Equality. The film is Rocks at Whiskey Trench, and it tells the story of the tale of reprisals against the Kawanaki and Kawasaki Mohawk tribes for their defense of their burial site in Oka in the summer of 1990. Wednesday, March 9th from 7 to 8 p.m. at the West Community Library at St. Pete College. That's 6700 8th Avenue North in St. Pete. St. Pete Dems are having their monthly meeting, and their speaker will be Barbara Scott, chair of the Pinellas Democratic Party. Also Wednesday, March 4th at the Sierra Club office at 7 p.m., 1990 Central Avenue in St. Pete, the Suncoast Sierra Club South County political team will be having their monthly meeting. Join them to discuss local environmental policy and elections. Thursday, March 5th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Florida Holocaust Museum, 55 5th Street South in St. Pete, the Richard Rappaport Family Anti-Semitism Lecture Series presents Mark Weisman. Weisman is an expert on the history and modern manifestations of anti-Semitism and Holocaust denials. Join him as Weisman shares how he and his colleagues worked for years to create a globally recognized definition of anti-Semitism as a means to combat hate worldwide. It is free to attend, but you need to RSVP, so call the Florida Holocaust Museum to do that. Saturday, March 7th, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Carter G. Woodson African American Museum, 2259th Street South. It's Coffee in Common, a monthly series co-hosted by the St. Petersburg alumni of the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, and the League of Women Voters of the St. Petersburg area. This month's theme is Living While Black versus Living While White. These free public events are for thoughtful, open-minded white women and women of color concerning issues of the day, to include white privilege, racism, and white supremacy. The series seeks to explore the intersection of politics and race by educating audiences about history, lived experience, and facilitating important, often uncomfortable discussions about race. Also, Saturday, March 7th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Allendale United Methodist Church, 3803 Haynes Road North in St. Pete, the League of Women Voters is having a nonpartisan poll monitor training. If you are looking for a way to help ensure every eligible voter who wants to vote is able to do so, and I sure hope you are, you can do this by becoming a poll monitor. So come and learn the ins and outs of voting rights in Florida, as well as what's involved with becoming a poll monitor, how to help voters advocate for themselves when they encounter issues, and how to help a national coalition track the issues that do arise so they can draw a more complete picture of the state of voting in our community, in our country. Really important stuff. another for Saturday, March 7th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the studio at 620, 620 First Avenue South in St. Pete. The League of Women Voters is very busy. They're having another event. It's Hopped Up on Democracy, the Food Politics Edition. This is a free game night all about food. There'll be plant-based snacks on the house. There's beer and wine available for a suggested donation. If you've never been to a Hopped Up event before, it's kind of like a trivia meets scavenger hunt meets game show with beer.
What?
Beer. It sounds like beer. Fun. You're going to love it. Bring your friends. Go to the Hopped Up on Democracy Food Politics Facebook event page if you want to RSVP.
Beer.
And on Sunday, March 8th at 2 p.m. at the Allendale United Methodist Church, 3803 Haynes Road North in St. Pete, the Pinellas County Chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America is having their monthly meeting. Come see what all the excitement is about. Join us there. And there's a really important event next Monday, March 9th, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Childs Park YMCA, 691 43rd Street South in St. Pete. Congressman Charlie Crist is going to host a community discussion and a workshop on life after the passage of Amendment 4. That's the Rights Restoration Amendment. And ongoing efforts to restore the rights of returning citizens. The event is going to follow the March 8th airing of MSNBC's new show, What's Eating America with Andrew Zimmer. The episode focuses on voting rights and includes an interview with Congressman Crist. So come join prominent members of the advocacy community, returning citizens, and other members of the voting rights community for a comprehensive conversation on where things stand after an overwhelming majority of Floridians voted in favor of forgiveness. And that's what's going on.
TK Weeks, thank you for another excellent future events calendar.
Boom!
And once again, I caught you singing this week.
I'm the kind of woman not hard to understand. I'm the one who cracks the whip and holds the upper hand. I'll beat you, mistreat you, till you quiver and quail. The female of the species is more deadly than the male.
That's right.
I love that line, quiver and quail. I'd never heard that till I heard this song by Meg Miles, quiver and quail. That's so funny.
Our climate is changing. Making a few changes to your driving habits can cut tailpipe emissions and improve fuel efficiency. Drive smart. Go easy on the brakes and gas pedal. Get regular tune-ups by following your vehicle's maintenance schedule. Check your tire pressure. Combine as many activities and errands into one trip as possible. Reduce your carbon impact to the environment. Act now on climate change.
Now, segment three, recorded the Jim Hightower commentary on, what is this? Socialism? Socialism? Socialism. Let's find
socialism.
Out.
Socialism, snarled the Donald at a recent pep rally of far-right Republicans. And the obedient crowd of Trumpistas snarled back in unison, socialism. There you have the entire intellectual content of the GOP's 2020 re-election strategy under Generalissimo Trump. Slap Democrats with a scurrilous campaign, branding them as Lenin Trotsky Stalin reincarnate. It's not just Trump hissing out the socialist label in a frantic McCarthy-esque attempt to make it stick by mindless repetition, but also Republican lawmakers. Unfortunately for them, they're overplaying a weak hand and bumbling over their own ignorance. Texas Senator John Cornyn, for example, compared Democrats who support ideas like Medicare for All to Mussolini. Apparently, Cornyn is unaware that the brutish Italian dictator was no socialist but a fascist. Mussolini's ideology of ultranationalism, masculine authoritarianism, suppression of democratic rights, and rule by wealthy elites is the opposite of the democratic agenda. Indeed, it describes the policies of, guess who, Trump and his acolytes, including Cornyn. The real problem for the GOP, however, is not merely that squawking socialism makes them sound like nutty old fuddy-duddies, but that the democratic policies they're attacking are enormously popular with America's workaday majority. Government-backed health care for all? Sure. Why should CEOs and Congress creditors be the only ones to get this? Affordable higher education? Of course, for that helps all of America. A wealth tax on corporate giants and the super rich? Long overdue. restore the rights of labor, and restrain the rise of monopolies? Yes. This is Jim Hightower saying, far from socialism, this is democratic populism, an honest, popular rebellion against a corporate plutocracy promoted by Trump and Cornyn. Which side are you on?
If you like these feisty pops of populism that Hightower zings out on the airwaves, check out the Hightower Lowdown. Jim's monthly newsletter provides the in-depth lowdown on what the greed heads of Wall Street and the boneheads of Washington are doing to us behind the scenes. With Hightower's saucy Texas humor and truth-telling populist perspective, the lowdown literally can lift you up. And get this, you can have the lowdown delivered to your mailbox or email each month for only $15 a year. Yes, 12 issues, only 15 bucks. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
This is
the radio program
Spectrum 360.
Bernie is somebody who has the virtue of saying exactly what he believes. Great authenticity, great passion, and is fearless. Bernie served on the Veterans Committee and got bills done.
I think people are ready for a call to action. They want honest leadership who cares about them. They want somebody who's going to fight for them. And they will find it in Bernie. That's right, feel the burn.
I'm Bernie Sanders, and I approve this message.
And what about total exoneration? Did you actually totally exonerate the president?
No.
Isn't it fair to say that the president's written answers show that he wasn't always being truthful?
Generally.
You believe that you could charge the president of the United States with obstruction of justice after he left office?
Yes.
The campaign welcomed the Russian help, did they not?
Yes.
And then they lied to cover it up?
Generally, that's true.
Need to impeach is responsible for the content of this advertising.
This is the year
2020,
and this is
the radio program
Spectrum 360.
And we're back, and this is segment four, live in studio, the Spectrum 360 report on the coronavirus epidemic. Now, we've compiled information from various sources to give you a summary of the current state of the coronavirus epidemic. And I'm going to go through these talking points here, these information talking points that give you a summary of the disease. And also, my co-host, the co-host of this radio program, co-executive producer and co-host TK Weeks, as well as being a host of a talk radio program, she's also a lawyer and a nurse. So she's a medical professional, and she will also comment on this. I'm going to give some basic information. We'll get her perspective, and then we'll go to the next segment. Now, coronavirus is in 64 countries, and it is in the United States. And in terms of President Trump, what he's doing, he is lying about basic information about the coronavirus. He is not a credible source for information. Of course, anybody who's aware of his presidency or even his candidacy for president in 2015 or 2016 knows that he's an habitual liar. He's a person of very low character, an habitual criminal, and cannot be trusted for information. He's going to say whatever he wants that is going to serve his own self-interest. So he's not credible on this topic. Now, the risk at the current time is low. Incubation period is about, on average, 5.2 days, but varies a lot individual to individual. Virus symptoms vary from no symptoms to mild cold to mild pneumonia symptoms to severe symptoms of the same type. 80% of cases are mild, 14% of cases are severe. I believe that information comes from China. 5% of cases can be catastrophic. If a person is exposed, the observation or quarantine period is 2 weeks. Recovery time is for mild cases is about 2 weeks, and in severe cases, 3 to 6 weeks. Tests are being upgraded. The infection rate is 2 to 3.1 other people per person infected, which is relatively low compared to a lot of the other types of coronavirus. And face masks are ineffective and are hard to get right now.
You don't need them. Don't panic.
Yes, you don't need them. Hand washing is effective. Make sure you do that for at least 20 seconds. The most vulnerable are the elderly. The least vulnerable are children and young people. And if you get the virus and recover, you may have some level of immunity, but it's not necessarily long term, and a vaccine will be available in 12 to 18 months. And I want to make a comment about hand washing. I saw a study once where there was a study done of people that complied with hand washing at public events such as concerts or sporting events in public toilet rooms, restrooms, bathrooms at public events. And one study came to the conclusion that 40% of people wash their hands properly after they use the toilet at a public event.
Ew.
40%. I saw the study myself and I read it. And it was disgusting. We can't afford, with an epidemic infecting the country, to have a 40% compliance rate with proper hand washing. I properly wash my hands every single time I'm at a public event and I use the toilet, okay? It's just a given. You have to do it, and you have to do it thoroughly. You have to do it every time. We can't tolerate this 40% compliance with hand washing. That's disgusting. TK Weeks, your comments.
This virus is a little different than the flu or a cold. It doesn't have a lot of upper respiratory symptoms like a sore throat or a runny nose. The big tip-off is a high fever and coughing. It'll be more lower respiratory type symptoms. As far as hand washing, it is the best way to prevent. It sounds so simple, but it's the first thing you learn in nursing school. Wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds and friction. Don't just kind of slew some soap on them and then wash it off. Rub your hands together, get friction, get some rubbing going on every part of your hands, get all that stuff off. It's the best way to get the virus off your hands. And then be very careful about touching your face. We touch our face unconsciously a lot throughout the course of the day, and that's one way we can spread the virus. Touch our eyes, touch our nose, touch our mouth, can spread virus that way. But don't panic. Take some simple precautions. If you do have a high fever or a sudden onset cough, stay home. I know that's going to be hard for a lot of us because some people don't have paid time off, and that's exposing some of the weaknesses in our system right now. People can't afford to take time off from work, and people can't afford to go to the doctor. But don't panic. Wash your hands. Be safe, everybody.
Yes, and don't try to pull your nose off your face.
No, don't do that. That's bad.
And information sources for this fact summary were from the California Department of Public Health, New England Journal of Medicine, Boston Children's Hospital, Centers for Disease Control, University of California, San Francisco, and the World Health Organization.
I did want to add one more thing. I just read an article here in the state of Florida. They're saying that, A, we don't have enough tests, and B, we don't have enough Department of Health employees to process the test. I wonder why that is. Could it be that they are starving the government with constant tax cuts so it is under-resourced and can't work when we really need it to? I don't know. Just saying.
Wow. And that concludes segment 4 on the coronavirus.
This is
the radio program
Spectrum 360.
This is Mark Skogman
and TK Weeks,
hosts of Spectrum 360 on the six stations of the Tantalk Radio Network. Spectrum 360 is a talk radio program that features politics, the arts, and popular culture from a progressive point of view. Spectrum 360 broadcasts for 1 hour weekly on Monday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Time and anytime via webcast at spectrum360media.com. Remember, Spectrum 360, news, politics, and arts from a creative and progressive point of view.
We have to have a new president of the United States in this country. We have to have a new president of the United States in this country.
And now segment 5, recorded the Spectrum 360 interview with Marilee Malwitz-Gipson. Now, Marilee Malwitz-Gipson is a wife, because she's married, a mother of two children, two sons. She's also an environmental activist and a business owner. She owns the business Rum 138, which is a kayak rental business, also a cafe, a concert venue, and who knows what else.
I believe an art gallery.
Yes, a fine art gallery as well. So a very interesting business located in Fort White on Highway 138. And she's a great environmental activist. I originally met Marilee Malwitz-Gipson in Tallahassee, Florida, I believe it was in 2014, when she was in Tallahassee for a clean water rally. And Frank Jacklone was Master of Ceremonies, who's the chair of the Sierra Club in the state of Florida, the state chair.
Executive director, actually.
Executive director, yes. And he introduced her as one of the speakers, and she was great. I got to know her that day, and I've known her ever since. Great activist. She lives near the Ginny Springs Spring and all these other springs along the Santa Fe River. I believe she's also a member of Our Santa Fe River, which is an activist organization. Just a great human being, a great woman, and a great activist. This is the interview we did earlier today with Marilee Malwitz Gibson about the kayaktivism event, the Ginny Springs Water Protector event, which she participated in and was one of the lead organizers for, and just information about water in Florida and the Nestle Corporation. And it's very informative. Now, we're going to play as much as we have time for, which will be just a few minutes. This is approximately a 24-minute interview. So we'll have the rest of the interview, the entire interview, posted on spectrum360media.com so you can listen to the entire one as well, the entire interview. So we'll allow you to listen to a few minutes of this, and then we'll end the program. So enjoy for a few minutes, Marilee Malwitz Gibson. This is Mark Skogman with the radio program Spectrum 360 with my co-host TK Weeks. And this is the Spectrum 360 interview with Marilee Malwitz Gibson. And Marilee, tell us a little bit about the business that you operate, Rum 138 in North Florida.
Sure. Hi, everybody. Great to be with you again, Mark and Terry.
Yes.
The business my husband and I operate is Rum 138. The name got its name because we are located on the corner of Rum Island Terrace and County Road 138 in Fort White. We are just north of Gainesville and south of Lake City. And we are a destination. We are a destination on the way to the Santa Fe River.
Yes.
Where you can rent kayaks and canoes. You can see incredible fine art dedicated to the springs and rivers of North Central Florida. You can also see an incredible music show here. We're a music venue with a cafe. And we are a Vibe dealership. So we also sell kayaks for people that want their own boat. So it's everything the store related to springs and rivers in North Central Florida. And we've been very successful here. This is about our seventh year operating. We started out as a dilapidated rundown structure, and we just keep building out every time. Every time people, our customers come, they're always impressed with the changes that they see us doing. So that's kind of my background. That's kind of where we're at right now and have been, like I said, for 7 years. But in my spare time,
whatever little spare time you have.
I'm a volunteer activist. I more consider myself an advocate for springs and rivers protection. I have, with my neighbors, we started a group called Our Santa Fe River. It's a very strong organization representing the area at large of the Santa Fe River Basin. And so we work really hard to raise attention and awareness to the threat that impair not only our water quality, but also our water quantity. Our organization got its start back in 2006 to fend off four water bottling operations in this region, and we were successful then. We stopped all four, and today we're facing off with the biggest behemoth water grabber in the world, and that's Nestle. Nestle secured a water use permit from Seven Springs Water Company. Seven Springs Water Company is basically just a kind of like a shell of a business. They don't bottle water, even though that's what their name is. They actually sell the water that they get through a water permitting process through the state of Florida, through the state agency of the Water Management District. In this particular one, it's the Suwannee River Water Management District. And over 20 years, Seven Springs Water Company secured a 1,152,000 gallon permit every day they're allowed to extract that water from Ginny Springs. Many of your listeners have probably been to Ginny Springs. There's a campground associated with it.
I think a number of people did their first dive there. A lot of dive classes go to Ginny Springs to do their open water dive.
It's a diving mecca. And not only is it a diving mecca and a tubing mecca and a camping mecca, they own roughly 2 miles of riverfront, this particular campground. The family that owns the campground owns Seven Springs Water Company. And they discovered years ago that water is gold. And so when they secured that water use permit, they've gone through three different companies at their, well, not their facility, but at a facility located near them, where they bottle the water through a pipeline, through a 40-acre pipeline connected to two wells that are located at the Devil's Eye Complex and Ginny Springs itself. So they're extracting the spring water directly out of the spring, putting it in a pipeline and sending it to the plant on County Road 340, which is in High Springs, Florida. And that water is being put in plastic to you, the unwitting consumer, under the label of Zephyr Hills at this point in time. So they've contracted with Nestle. They're bottling presently on an old existing permit.
Don't go near the water. Don't you think it's sad? What's happened to the water? Our water's going bad.
And that's the first few minutes of our interview with Marilee Malwitz Jepson about the Kayaktivism Water Protector event that happened this last weekend on Saturday, the 29th of February, Leap Day, and also some information about that. We'll have the full interview at Spectrum360media.com, and it's excellent, 24 minutes approximately in length, and just a huge amount of information in that interview, so you definitely need to listen to this. TK Weeks, your final comments for this Spectrum 360.
Yeah, I do really want to encourage everybody to go to the Spectrum 360 Media website. Marilee is so knowledgeable about water issues and the situation with Nestle, which has been in social media and in the news lately. You need to know about it if you care about water, and I think we all do.
Definitely. Spectrum 360 is copyright 2020 by Mark Skogman. Information provided by Democracy Now! Is included in the production of the Spectrum 360 News Summary. To listen to the radio program or television program Democracy Now! Or to donate, go to www.democracynow.org. Remember, on next week's Spectrum 360 radio program, more coverage of the primary elections, more interviews, and more wry observations of news and politics. And that completes the radio program Spectrum 360 for this edition. Listen next week at the same time and place and listen to another Spectrum 360 radio program. Hoo-hoo! Yes, we're going to have another one next week, so please listen at that time. Yes. Bye. The radio program Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. The executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter is Mark Skogman. The co-executive producer, co-host, and staff reporter is TK Weeks. The radio program Spectrum 360 broadcasts for 1 hour weekly on Monday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern Time on the 6 stations of the Tantalk Radio Network and anytime via webcast. To listen to the webcast, go to www.spectrum360media.com and select the program date of your choice. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters from the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining radio program Spectrum 360.
That's all.